As John said, my name is Jim Ritchie. I'm the executive director of Aletheia Counseling Ministry. Aletheia is a Greek word that means truth and reality. So we try to give people truth and reality in our biblical counseling. It's a regional counseling center. It reaches Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and the Connecticut area. And if you need counseling, see me after the service. Be happy to help you. This is a great day. John, thank you for the privilege to be able to be here today on Mother's Day and share a message. I've entitled it an unusual Mother's Day message. Mother's Day is one of those challenging holidays. You know, I do a lot of counseling, and I have a lot of people sit before me, 1,400 counseling sessions a year, and I hear all kinds of stories. So yes, Mother's Day is a challenging holiday. If you realize this or not. And yes, moms deserve to be lifted up, to be acknowledged, to be encouraged, to be recognized. However, the Bible says to us in Hebrews 3:13 that we need to encourage one another day after day while it's still called today. So the Holy Spirit says that to all of us, that we need to encourage one another. So the body of Christ, we also need to remember this, that as we celebrate Mother's Day, not all women are mothers. And so many women that I talk to on a daily basis, they deal with so many challenging things. There's some mothers that might be dealing with infertility, that they can't have children at all. There's other mothers that are dealing with grieving. Maybe there's a loss of a child that happened unexpectedly. Or maybe there's a wayward child as well, that something happened, the child turned away from the faith, or never bought into the faith, never accepted Jesus Christ. And now this child is into alcohol, into drugs, into a wayward kind of a life. And it's going astray, the child is unreachable. There's mothers here too that are single. I mean, you tried a lot of different things, all the websites and all the different kinds of dating sites and all the rest, and you're wondering, am I going to spend the rest of my life alone? And then there's those ladies, those women that might have had recently or in the past, maybe you've had an abortion. And maybe that's plaguing you, this shame and this guilt and this hurt over that. Or maybe some of you had a child and you had to give your child up for adoption. And that's so painful, awfully painful. Then there's others who are single here and you're wondering, when is God going to bring me that special man into my life? Am I going to spend the rest of my life single all by myself? And then there's others, too, that are grieving the loss of their mother. Maybe something recently happened that your mother died or in the past, and this brings up memories for you. And so there's a host of things, never-ending trail of negativity, even when those people here that might have been through a divorce. And if you've been through a divorce, there's all kinds of shame. There's all kinds of guilt, there's anger, there's frustration, there's courts, there's money, there's a whole bunch of things involved in all of that. There's just a never-ending trail of negative consequences that come with divorce. And so as I was thinking about this, I'm thinking about this dualistic effect as we're celebrating Mother's Day here. And yet the people that I talk to, I know that there's probably half of this congregation are saying, Mother's Day, this is the worst day in the world for me. So I've entitled my message, An Unusual Mother's Day Message. So how are we to view Mother's Day in light of all of the women here in the church today? Well, in Romans chapter 12, verse 15, it says this, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. So yes, we want to rejoice with those women here today. They're on the road to motherhood and they're married and they have children and everything is going pretty well for them. But today we also want to remember to weep with those who weep And all of the women here today or in other churches that are going through some very difficult, challenging times that I've already mentioned before. So these women here are going through these challenging times. They're wondering, where is God and when will the suffering and the discouragement in my life end? So I believe that every woman in the body of Christ is a treasure to be valued and to be honored. We all need to look beyond the woman's circumstances, and you need to view the treasure that exists in her heart. You see, a woman is not defined by whether or not she's a mother, has been a mother, or will be a mother. A woman is defined by her relationship with God and how much she loves God and her relationship with Jesus Christ and how she's defined through Jesus Christ, not through motherhood, not by having a child, but by who you are in Jesus. That if any man or woman is in Jesus Christ, you're a new creature, a new person in Christ. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. And if God is for us, who can be against us? That's how you are defined through Jesus Christ, not through motherhood. And so this Mother's Day, please, please remember to encourage every woman in your midst. Thank every woman for serving Jesus Christ and for being a beacon of light and a beacon of faith, regardless of her circumstances. We want to tell every woman who is here today that she's honored, that she's important, and that she has value. Every woman, not just mothers, every woman. So, after all, the highest goal in life for a woman is not to be a mother. The highest goal for women is not to be a mother. The highest goal in life for every woman is to simply be like Jesus Christ. You know, in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, it says you need to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And that, my friends, is something worth celebrating. So today, our main text is going to be taken from Genesis chapter 17 or 18. If you have your Bible, if you have a media device, you might want to turn to Genesis chapter 17, first book of the Bible, so we should have no problem in finding that. Genesis chapter 17 or 18. This is going to be an encouragement for all women, for all of us men as well, for all women and for all of us men as well. Now, it's a strange story. You know it. It's very familiar. God has called Abraham and Sarah to be the parents of a child, Jesus Christ, for all the nations. And they're kind of waiting now to see what's going to happen here, because Abraham is 100 years old and Sarah now is 90 years old. And they're saying, well, when is this child going to come? And so there's all kinds of doubts that are taking place. So in Genesis chapter 17, verse 16 and 17, I want you to take a look at that for a moment. Here's what it says. It's kind of funny when you read this. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she'll be the mother of nations. So they're going to be mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Now Abraham fell face down. He laughed and he said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? That's not a good thing to laugh at God, but he laughed. And then in Genesis chapter 18, take a look there. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 12. So Sarah, she laughed to herself as she thought, after I am worn out and my husband is old, will I now have the displeasure Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Wow, those are powerful verses. That's our text for this morning. Being a woman is not easy. I heard about a woman who said this, before I was married, I had three theories about raising children. And now I have three children and no theories at all. I think some of you can relate to that. If you're a mother, you know that motherhood can be messy at times. It can be frustrating. It can be exhausting. And really, there's no foolproof formula for being a mother. So being someone who is married is also not easy as well. I have so many people come in. And I think there's about 70 or 80% of the counseling sessions that I have revolve around marriage and motherhood. So as you deal with all of these problems of motherhood, it's messy at times, it's frustrating, it's exhausting. Someone who is not married to, it's also not so easy. So we have motherhood, and I have so many people coming in for marriage counseling, but then there's people who are single as well, and that's not easy as you deal with loneliness. And you deal with divorce and shame and anger and guilt and a host of other disappointing things. One woman said to me, my life is just one romantic comedy. There is no romance, and I laugh at my own jokes. Another single woman said to me, it's so hot outside that I almost called my ex-husband so I could be around something shady. Or maybe you're one of those women, you're looking for a man, you've tried it all, you went to the dating sites, you're trying to find somebody through the church and all of that, and you finally totally gave up, and you said, you know what, I'm not going to try this anymore. All I'm looking for now is $12 million and a donut. So whoever or whatever the challenges are before you, whether the challenges of being a mother, or being single, remember Abraham, remember Sarah. Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah was 90 years old. So whatever camp you may find yourself in, I want you to remember this, because this morning there's going to be just two points I'm going to be sharing with you. Number one, don't laugh at God. Don't laugh at God. Don't doubt God. Don't question God. Whatever your situation may be, both Abraham and Sarah, they laughed at God. So my first point is, don't ever laugh at God. Don't ever second guess God. Don't ever doubt God. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 14, it says this, is there anything too difficult for God? Is there anything too difficult for God? You know, I often tell this story of a man who was walking on top of a cliff, and all of a sudden he slipped and he fell, and he's hanging onto this branch for dear life, and all of a sudden he cries out, is there anybody up there who can help me? And all of a sudden a voice comes from heaven, and God says, yes, I'm here. He said, well, can you help me? And God says, yes, I can help you. Let go of the branch. The man looks down 3,000 feet, and then he looks back up again, and he says, is there anybody else up there? You know, when God tells you to jump off a cliff, when God tells you to jump off a cliff, you better jump off the cliff, because either one or two things will happen. He's either going to catch you, or he's going to teach you how to fly. You see, you need to have faith. Don't ever doubt God. There's also a story, too, of a little boy. He was in a burning house. You know, the front door was blocked from the fire. The back door was blocked with the fire. And all of a sudden he goes up through the skylight and he's on top of the roof, billowing kinds of flames are coming up and smoke all around him. He can't see. But his father comes down and he's on the front lawn and he's calling to his son. And he says to his son, "Son, jump, I'll catch you." And the little boy is saying, "But I can't see you, Dad. I can't see you." And so the father says, "I know, son, you can't see me, but I can see you. Jump!" Yeah. Amen. Isn't that the way it is, though? You see, we can't see, but God can see. This God who is the maker of heaven and earth and of all things. There's some things that we can't see. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and He's the end. So you see, we're talking about the maker of the universe who holds the whole world in His hands. And so we can believe every verse in the Bible is yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Amen? God is a great God. So that's the first thing. Don't laugh at God. Whatever your circumstances are, whether it's in marriage or singlehood, whatever it might be, don't laugh at God. Don't second guess God. Don't doubt God. That's the first thing. The second thing is this. God is not on our timetable. He's not on our timetable. In Genesis 18:14, look what it says there. It says, "At the appointed time." You see, there's always an appointed time. "I will return to you, and you will have a son." At the appointed time. At times, motherhood is very difficult. At times, singleness can be very difficult. And you may cry out, "God, when is this all going to end? When is this wilderness experience going to end? When am I coming into the promised land? Because I just can't seem to take the pain anymore. When is it going to end?" You cry out day and night, whether you're married or whether you're single. You're looking to God and asking Him, "When's this going to end?" You know, friends, I want to tell you that God does things in His own time. And God is not a genie, too. You know, in a bottle that you can kind of rub the lamp and all of a sudden He comes out. Or He's not a vending machine. You pull the lever and your candy or whatever it is that you're looking for comes out. We get so rattled when we think something is important or has to happen right away in our time schedule. God has ordained the events of history. He has established kingdoms. He's established thrones. And remember this, that God is always up to something, and He's always up to something good. You have to remember what it says in Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, to them who are called according to His purpose. And the emphasis is on all things work together for good. So friends, we live in a dualistic world. You need to get this now. This is important. We live in a dualistic world in John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus said, I've told you these things, that I've come to bring you peace. But in the world there's tribulation, but take heed, I've overcome the world. Do you understand the kind of world that we live into? We live in a world that I try to explain to counselees over and over again who come in, and they say to me, "Why is this happening to me? Why is this going on? Why is this happening?" I'm saying, well, you understand we're living in a dualistic world where we have peace and tribulation at the same time. Do you know how to navigate through that, through the peace and through the tribulation? Well, one of the things that says that God lives inside of us, take heed, He said, "I've overcome the world." Where is that overcomer? He lives inside of you. So if He overcame the world, you can overcome the world as well. That's the perspective that we're missing. You know, what I teach in my counseling is three things. Number one is to give people a perspective. Number two is to give them truth. Number three is to give them discipline. Because if you have just the first two, okay, if you have perspective and you have truth, but you don't have discipline, then you're just going to leave here a smarter sinner. Understand? Because you need to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. So listen, folks, we live in a dualistic world. Do you understand? There's peace and tribulation that navigates on a daily basis. And we have to navigate in and through that, according to John 16:33. So friends, you're never going to cross an ocean if you don't have the courage to lose sight of the shore. So, you know, marriage and singleness are much like a ship crossing the ocean. I want you to think about this for a second. Marriage and singleness is much like a ship that's crossing an ocean. You know, when you see a ship leave and it begins to go and you're watching it and it's going and it's going and going, and pretty soon it goes over the horizon and you say, there she goes. But then there's somebody else on the other side of the ocean seeing the ship come in to the harbor, and they're saying, here she comes. You see what I'm talking about? Just because we cannot see something, just because we cannot see the beginning and the end, because Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, he knows the beginning and the end. We have all of these doubts and we have all these insecurities. So we say, there she goes, but somebody's saying, here she comes. You see, you need to see the bigger perspective of all of this, the bigger picture in your marriage. And in your singleness, there's a bigger picture here. So please do not doubt God and do not doubt his ways, whether it's married or whether you're single. Submit to his ways. Submit to his timetable for your life. On your bulletin, you have that verse, Matthew 11:28. It says, come to me, all that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, we try to find rest in so many things. People come into my office and they've tried drugs, they've tried alcohol, they're cutting themselves, they have eating disorders, they're sexual problems, all this, trying to find fulfillment and all of those things. And I can tell you this, that there is pleasure in all of those things. But can I tell you, the Bible says there's only pleasure in a season. Now, how long is a season? Is it a week? Is it a month? Is it a year? And then it comes crashing down and the consequences are there before you. And so I had this wonderful, beautiful blonde model come into my office one time, and she was telling me about the problems she had. I said, but we only have one problem here, and the problem is you're committing fornication because you're living with somebody. So you either have to make the decision to leave that person and continue the counseling, or I have to stop counseling with you. Well, she said, I'm in love. So what do you do with people like that who are in love? If they're in love, I guess they can violate the scriptures and do what they want. And so we stopped the counseling. 1 year later, she comes back to me. She says, Pastor Jim, I need to talk with you. I said, yeah, well, what's the problem? She said, I want to ask your forgiveness. I said, okay. I said, explain it. She said, well, you know, back then, she said, I didn't listen to what you were saying. But I now realize what you were trying to tell me. And I want to apologize to you and ask your forgiveness for not listening to your counsel. As she was now holding a little baby. And Mr. Wonderful was gone. You see? So she came to her senses, but then there's consequences. Much like the thief on the cross, who committed all kinds of crimes. There was two thieves there, both rejecting Jesus. But at the end, one received Jesus Christ, said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. But did Jesus take him off the cross because he accepted him and had forgiveness? Or did the man still pay for his consequences? You get the picture? So one is a legal guilt that's taken from us, but there's also consequences to what we do as well. That's what we're talking about here. So don't ever doubt God and his ways, whether you're married or whether you're single. Submit to his ways. Submit to his timetable for your life. Because Matthew 11:28 says, come to me all that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You'll only find rest in Jesus Christ, not in anything else. As we sort of conclude here, I have like a little prayer that I want to share with us today. I love this little prayer for us, for those who are married, for those who are single, or whatever it is that you're going through in your life. Listen to this here. Sometimes life seems hard to bear. It's full of sorrow, trouble, and woe. And it's then I have to remember that it's in the valleys that I grow. If I always stayed on the mountaintop and never experienced pain, I would never appreciate God's love, and we'd be living in vain. I have so much to learn, and my growth is very slow. Sometimes I need the mountaintops, but it's in the valleys that I grow. I do not always understand why these things happen as they do, but I'm very sure of one thing. My Lord will see me through. My little valleys are nothing when I picture Christ on the cross as he went through the valley of death for us. His victory was Satan's loss. Oh Lord, forgive me, Lord, for complaining when I'm feeling so very low. Just give me a gentle reminder that it's in the valleys that we grow. Continue to strengthen me, Lord, and use my life each day to share your love with others and help them find their way. Thank you for the valleys, Lord, and for this one thing I know. The mountaintops are glorious, but it's in the valleys that we grow. Lord, help us all to grow in your perfect will, your perfect timing for our lives. So I want to extend to all the mothers here today, Happy Mother's Day. And to all the women, okay, I want to lift you up because you need to be honored and you're important and you're valued as well. And the Bible tells us, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. So today and in the days ahead, the Bible tells us that we need to encourage one another. Think about this. Today is Mother's Day and this is great. But we ought to always be encouraging one another, whether married, whether single, whether a mother or not. We as Christians need to encourage one another in the valleys or whether we're on the mountaintop. That's what we ought to do. And so I want to encourage you to do all of that because we have a great God today. And I wish you a happy Mother's Day. But I also wish you, for all of the women here who are Christ followers, I want to say thank you for your position in Christ and the fact that you honor him. And all of this goes up to him as a fragrant aroma, well-pleasing to him. So it's about all people. It's about mothers. It's about women. It's about men. It's about all of us today, giving honor and glory to him because he's a wonderful God. So I want to pray for us all today. And so bow your heads with me as we lift all of this up to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you today. It's a glorious day for mothers. But Lord, we're human beings, and so we live in a sin-cursed world as well. So there's all kinds of women here today and in other churches and in the country that are going through some difficult times. I see them every day. I weep with them as they're hurting. Just yesterday, I was talking to a couple, and she was in tears sitting next to her husband who would not understand what she was trying to say. And Lord, it was just a shame to see this marriage almost on the brink of just disintegrating, on the brink of divorce. We managed to keep it together, but Lord, I don't know how long it's going to last because they both are moving in separate directions. It's so sad to see this take place. Because your word says in Psalm 127:1, unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain who build it. So, Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would be able to commit ourselves to Jesus, who says, come to me, all that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Our only rest is through Jesus. It's not going to be through the fact that you're married or through the fact that you're single, you have children, you don't have children. All of those things are sort of the icing on top of the cake. But if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you don't find your peace in him, all of that really doesn't matter. So I pray that each one of us are centered in Christ. Each one of us are calling upon him, seeking first his kingdom and righteousness, knowing all of these things will be added unto us. Help us to be those true followers, Lord, in your word on a daily basis, because we know that your word is alive and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. It goes deep inside of us and accomplishes its purposes, Lord. So may we be the people of the book, to read your book, to find that fulfillment, to find that pleasure, to find that rest that you can only give to us, Lord. And it's not in marriage, and it's not in singleness, or it's not in anything else that we would think, Lord. It's only in you. So, Father, we give all of this to you today, and we pray that you'd lift us up because we're connected to you. And if any man or woman is in Christ, we're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so, Lord, today we want to walk in that newness of life that you and you alone can give to us. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.